1984, God did a cleansing work in our church, and a number of people that professed to be believers wanted to be worldly like Lot, and the Lord cleansed us. And then in 1985, God led the preacher and cleansed me from the modern translations and led me back to the old King James Bible, and we've been preaching from that Bible ever since. Then in March of 1986, I took a trip from Elkdale Baptist Church, or with the Elkdale Baptist Church, where Frank Bissell was the pastor. He's still pastoring there. Don Snyder, who now is a pastor, was a young man, a member of that church, and his wife Bonnie, young Bonnie, were members, and they traveled on that trip. I believe others traveled, Peter Cardi, and we traveled out to Hammond, Indiana. And we didn't go there for the weather. We certainly didn't go there for the beauty of the place. It was in the greater Chicagoland area. And you say, well, what attracted you to take this trip out there in 1986? Well, it was part of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And the pastor there was a star among independent fundamental Baptist preachers. I used to read the Sword of the Lord newspaper, and I would read the different preachers like you may read sermons, and his sermon was always the one that I wanted the most, and it helped me the most. But he was very controversial, and I went to seminary up on the Holy Hill and was getting my master's degree, and he was talked against and spoken against. By the way, if you're doing something for God, you'll be spoken against. But the pastor was a star, and he was shining. And the theme of his conference that week was "He that winneth souls is wise." And all week I saw people from that church leading people personally, listen to me, to faith in Jesus Christ, bringing them to church, and in front of all the pastoral delegates, baptizing people in a large baptistry there. What a blessing that was to me after going through this cleansing time. And God's timing is always right. And I was there with Dr. Charles Ware, and at the end of the week, we both went to the altar, and I just remember I made a decision to be a soul winner in a greater way than ever. I had been a soul winner, but I was doing it just in slow motion compared to where I went after that. And I remember at the altar praying that I would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to win souls for Christ. And indeed, I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and came back here to Scranton and began to win souls to Christ. People got baptized and God began to do a great work here that really came out of that conference. In fact, that year was 1986, March of 1986, and we saw 10 years of growth. We went from no buses to I started 3 bus routes. And our church was literally running 3 buses with 3 bus captains. At the end of that 10-year run, in 1 year, we baptized 276 people in 1 year. It was a time when God was moving in a mighty, mighty way. And then I remember the Word of God would be burning in my heart and would press me every week to the pulpit for a year, where I just knew what God wanted me to preach, and I was pressed to preach it. And it really blessed people, but some people didn't like it. And so it had a dual effect. Some years later, in the early 1990s, I won a contest by bringing people from our church to that same pastor's school that I went to in 1986 and had attended subsequently. And I brought them, and we attended that conference in Hammond. I was given as my prize an all-expense-paid trip to go with the pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, and some other fundamental preachers, maybe 10 of us in all around the country who were great men of God. I got to go to the Holy Land. And I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about Texas. Because Texas was where Brother Hiles got the power of the Holy Spirit on his life, and it turned his ministry around, where he was preaching for a year as a young preacher and saw nobody get saved, nobody get baptized. And he was praying, and when his father died, he had been praying, losing weight, and praying for the power of God on his ministry. And there on the grave of his father, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to see God saving people in his churches. And his churches grew wherever he went from that time on. And he was mightily used of God. And I have a picture down in my office of Dr. Hiles, and I have one that is blown up and in the inner office. But in the outer office, I have like an original, just a picture of Dr. Hiles and I on his father's grave and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit where he prayed. And we sung that song, Pentecostal Power. Send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. He sang that with me, and I have a picture of he and I there at that place. I remember going to Italy, Texas, which was right near that graveyard where his father was buried. And I remember as we went through the downtown of Italy, Texas, and it was not a big downtown, but it had a big hardware store, and it said Hiles Hardware, so it was one of his relatives. And we walked to the end of the street, and there was a big monument there in Italy, Texas, big for Italy, Texas size. And there in that monument, it was a monument built to Dr. Jack Hiles. By the way, when they build monuments, they don't build it to people that don't get criticism in their life. Amen? You won't have a monument built if you never get criticized. And there was the monument, and it said at the end of the inscription on the monument in honor of Dr. Jack Hiles, it said these words. And I would like you to turn, first of all, to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, because these are the words that were written about him when they honored him on that monument. It's in verse number 3 of Daniel 12, and it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And I want to preach to you a challenge this morning, and please give me your attention for a little time. I want to preach to you this morning on be a bright star. Be a bright star. And I want to say, number one, be a bright star by receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 2 of Daniel 12. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting content." You know what? Sooner or later, you're very likely going to sleep in the dust of the earth. Amen? You see, death is coming. I was in the mall the other day, and I saw a guy, and he was bent over like this, and his hair looked, you know, kind of dark, and kind of gray, I'm talking about, and he looked like he really was aging. And he said, "Pastor Bloom." And I'm looking, I said, "Who is that?" And it was Frank Zukowski. Used to be a pharmacist. Now he's driving bus. He's not doing his pharmacy right now. And he inherited his parents' farm. He's out there. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, you know, how long has it been? He said, "About 30 years, I guess." I couldn't believe that much time has gone by. Used to be in our church. Used to see him in the pulpit, in the pew. I was in the pulpit. And he would come down for counsel. And it was the same Frank, but he was aging. Let me tell you, this life goes by just like that. I was visiting the other day on Matt's route, and we visited Neil Hiller Jr. Neil Hiller Jr. And Neil told me he's getting surgery, and pray for him on April 11th. Because thank God that Neil came with his brother Bobby, who's a pastor now, and he came with him to our church service, and he trusted Christ as his Savior when I preached. What a wise decision that was. But I said to him, and he wants to get baptized, and after the surgery, he plans to get baptized. But I said to Neil, you know, man, you used to be a little kid in our church. You know, he was about Celeste's age, you know, when he came. And we used to take him out soul winning, Brother Joe, didn't we? And we'd buy him a treat every time. And he did all of that, but he didn't come to Christ. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor, that was 3 decades ago. That was 30 years ago." And I thought to myself, how fast it goes. You see, deathbeds await you. What will it profit if you get everything in this world and you lose your own soul? Your soul is going to depart from your body. How many have ever broken an egg? Yeah, I've broken an egg, and when you break an egg into a frying pan, out comes the egg white and the egg yolk. The egg is like your body. It's very frail and can be easily broken. I was out visiting on bus route up in Carbondale. We went to Forest City. We were moving. I was flat out moving. I was teasing Matt. I said, "You're God's snail, Matt. You know, I'm running." But you know what? Pride goeth before a fall. And I missed a step and I went flat on my face on cement. I mean, flat on my face. These were bruised here, bruised there. Back was not good. Neck was not good. Need to see a chiropractor after that one. And I looked up to Matt and I said, "Help me up." And he pulled me up. The rabbit went down and the snail was still going. But I'm just saying it happens suddenly. You can suddenly be broken. Your body can suddenly be broken, and that without human remedy, right? It could be an auto accident. It could be anything. We don't know. There used to be a television show, 1,000 Ways to Die. And if your soul is not saved, or if it is saved, when that egg is broken, that yolk and that egg white comes out. That's like your soul and spirit. It's invisible. It's your soul. It will come out of your body. What will it profit if you get everything in this world? You have friends. You have good times. But when you die, you lose your soul and you're in hell. There's nothing more important than that. And if you're going to be a bright star, like what I'm preaching about, the first thing is you have to receive the one that can save your soul. And thank God for Neil Hiller. And I'm just saying that there are some people, according to Daniel 12, it says that when you give them the gospel, they hold it in contempt. They hold you in contempt. They put up with you maybe, or maybe they don't. Maybe they say, "I don't have time to hear that gospel." And they hold it in contempt. Let me tell you, the Bible says if you hold the good news about Jesus Christ in contempt, that you will rise from the dead, but you will go into the lake of fire and be suffering everlasting contempt. God will turn his back on you. You'll be in hell forever and ever. There'll be no water. There'll be no mercy. There'll be no comfort from the flame. It is eternal, friends. And if you're going to be a bright star, you've got to realize that today, that people are eternal souls and bodies are going to be gone. We look at the outward appearance. People look at the Hollywood stars. It's outward. They're not going to be the bright stars. They're going to be in everlasting contempt if they don't get saved. And so I'm just saying to you, there are two resurrections. There are two resurrections. Daniel 12:2 says, one is before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ over the earth. And that's for those that are saved and they'll rise from the dead and meet the Lord in the air with those that are still alive. The other resurrection will be people that have been for 1,000 years in hell at the center of the earth. And they're going to be raised and all of their sins will be read off. And you'll have to pay for your sin in a literal lake of fire forever and ever. No longer at the center of the earth. And I'm just saying to you that if you are going to be a bright star, you need to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not hold it in contempt. Listen, we've had people that have come on our buses. How many have come on the buses? We've had people that have come on their buses and they've heard me preach. They've heard the youth pastor preach. They've heard Sunday school teachers preach. They've heard youth director preach. They've heard all kinds of opportunities to get saved. Jesus Christ didn't come to damn you to hell. He came to save you. Right. He didn't come to trick you. The devil tries to trick you. Salvation is simple. Right. It's simple faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, that's what you need. And so you need to realize that Jesus Christ lived that perfect life. And he died to pay for our sin. And if you put your faith in him and say, "Lord, save me," he'll take all your bad report card, which is filled with F's. You got a lot of F's on your report card because you've done sins. And he'll give you his perfect A pluses because he never sinned. And your sins will be washed away and you'll be saved forever. And that is the thing, that don't hold this in contempt. Don't put it off. Get saved. If you're not 100% sure with a Bible reason you're saved, you need to be saved. And I need to make that very clear to you. Because God will hold me accountable. And so if you want to be a bright star in this dark world in which we're living in, you receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many kids that have been bus kids have held that in contempt. I'm thinking of a bus kid right now that I reached out to, 25 years of age now, and he just passed away. Pray for his family. Can't pray for him anymore. Listen, when you get saved, and it makes a difference in your life. Esau and Jacob were brothers. Jacob got saved by believing the promises of God and putting his faith in the Lord to come. But Esau turned up his nose at it. He said, it's not important. And now in hell, he regrets the fact he didn't receive it. You'll remember forever that you went to Scranton Revival Baptist Church, and if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by simple faith, right, you'll regret it forever.
Right.
When you're in hell, not 1,000 years, not 1,000,000 years, billions, and never ending. I'm just saying there's nothing more important in being a bright star than that you get saved. I thank God for people that have been soul winners like Brother Joe Sobotnik. He came to our church out of a Catholic background, and he thought it was sacraments plus Jesus. And when he came here, he heard the gospel clearly, and he says he put his faith in Christ, and he got saved. And he knows it. He has a Bible reason. I think of another guy that was in our church, Kyle Donovan, and he went out to church one day, and he'd been here for about a year. He wasn't saved, and Brother Joe asked him, if you died today and stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? And he knew he wasn't saved. He said, Pastor, can I go out with you when you tell people about Jesus Sunday night? And I said, sure, Kyle, come along. And while I was leading somebody to put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they prayed and said, Lord, I'm putting my faith in you, Kyle prayed and trusted Christ and was saved. Listen, if you're going to be a bright star for God, it's important that you receive Jesus Christ and his gospel that says that if you come to him, he won't cast you out. He'll wash away your sin, and then you can be a bright star. But I want you to notice it says the second thing here, that you can be a bright star not only by receiving the gospel of Christ, but by turning many to righteousness. Look at verse 3 of Daniel 12. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that what? Turn many to righteousness. I want you to say two words out loud. Turn many. Say it with me. Turn many. All right, very good. I want you to say it again very loud. Turn many. All right, turn many. If you want to be a bright star, God wants you, listen to me, to turn many to righteousness. Now, notice the big stars or the bright stars in the world turn many. They turn many. Even the world stars, right? Are there stars in the world? How about sports stars? You know what? I'm an avid football fan. I have been for pro sports and college. I've been an avid baseball fan. I root for the New York Yankees for baseball. I root for the Pittsburgh Steelers for football, Michigan Wolverines for the college. I've been an avid star, but I was never an NBA fan. Never an NBA. Never the national basketball. But somebody made me for about a decade become a fan for the NBA. They turned me to the NBA. And this person was in the NBA from 1984 to 1993, and then from 1995 to 1998. And I actually got other people, and we shared together, and we started rooting for this team that he played on, and we even started rooting for some of his teammates that played with him. This star, this basketball star, turned me and turned many people to become interested in the Chicago Bulls. Who was that star? Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. You like that? and Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, the crazy guy, and all these guys. And I just, I was avid for that team. He turned me. He turned me. And you know what? I'm thinking also in the early 1960s, there was some young men, and they were coming to America. I heard they were coming to America, and they were turning many young people in America. They were turning many young people in America to their British style of rock music. And this group came, and they arrived on February 7th, 1964 in JFK Airport. Thousands of screaming young people that had been turned to their music. Who was that group? It was the Beatles. The Beatles. I'm saying, listen to me. A star, even in the world, turns many people to what they're into and what they are doing. Now, one of the guys that got so much that he was such a star, his name was John Lennon. He made a statement that we are more popular than Jesus Christ. We are more popular than Jesus Christ. John Lennon was a star, but then one day he walked back to his apartment in New York City, the Dakota, on December 8, 1980. A devil-possessed young man named Mark David Chapman shot Lennon with a .38 caliber Charter Arms special revolver. He was only a few yards away from the rock star when he shot him and fatally wounded him. And the star that had turned many to worldly rock music and away from the rock that doesn't roll, Jesus Christ, was suddenly a lost soul going to hell. No crowds to cheer there. No fans there. I'm saying, but he turned many. He turned them the wrong way. But you want to be a bright star to turn many the right way. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Why are we here if it's not to turn many? Why are we not in heaven since Jesus paid for a home in heaven? Why are we here, friends? Why is this church here? Why is this pastor here? You see, woe be unto me if I don't turn many. Woe be unto me if I... And that's what happened to me in 1986. I was turning a few here and there, but God said, no, not just once a week. Turn many. Turn many. And sports stars turn many. Rock stars are turning many. Movie stars are turning many. But we need God stars to turn many to righteousness. And you say, well, what righteousness is that? Well, that is not your righteousness or my righteousness. The only righteousness will... How would you like to come to church and realize you were naked? And you're in church naked. You'd be ashamed. And you... You shouldn't be here naked. That would be a horrible thing. But how would you like to stand before God with all of your sins exposed where God and everybody can see them? And the only way to avoid that is to receive God's gift of righteousness, where Jesus takes your sin and gives you his perfect obedience as a free gift. It's a gift of God. Because he knew none of us, if God would mark down our sins, none of us could stand before God. So we need a free gift. He'll give you a free robe of perfect righteousness. You know, in heaven, we're going to wear white robes. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. I stain everything I wear. If I have a tie, one guy in the church, he told me, I want to make Scotch Guard and put it right over your ties. Because your ties are more like bibs than they are ties. He said, every time you drink, you stain stuff. I said, well, you just blame my mother. That's where that came from. But anyway, what I'm saying to you, in heaven, if I stain some, it's just going to go and become white again. Why? Because that's what Jesus does to your sins. He takes them away. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life with indelible ink. Thank God for that. And so if you're going to turn many, you have to turn them to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants you to turn many. I can't help but think, I'm here in this church and we haven't done our job yet. You say, how do you know? This place isn't full yet. And it's not full more than once. The Bible says, many have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And I really speak it to my shame if I don't see a full house, so that we have to have more than one service. So full of house that we have to send out missionaries and start other churches in Pennsylvania. And so full of house that we have to keep going. Listen, we're not doing it. What does the Bible say in Luke 14 when the feast was held that represents the gospel of Christ? God says the owner of the feast kept sending the servants out until my house is what? Full. It's not full, beloved. We're not done. We need to turn many, and God challenges us. As I read John chapter 15, and it talks about the fruit of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when a couple gets married, they have children. When you join to Christ in saving relationship, you have children. And the Lord says in John 15, I want you to bear fruit, and you will bear fruit. And then he says, I want you to bear more fruit. And then what does he say? He's not satisfied with that. I want you to bear what? Much fruit. Much fruit. And so, listen, God wants us to turn many to righteousness. Now, somebody says, well, you're just too concerned about numbers. Well, there was a book in the Bible called Numbers. And then the book of Acts says there were 12. Then there was 120, and then there was 3,000, and then there were multitudes. Yes, I am concerned when God's churches are not reaching and filling their houses, and the world is. I am just saying to you, God wants us to be bright stars. God wants you to be a bright star. Receive Jesus Christ and settle on your salvation, because the word of God is clear. Don't let Satan mess with you. And then number two, turn many to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you can be a bright star, and we need bright stars. But there's one more thing I want to say. Be a bright star by receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, by turning many to righteousness, and by your deciding to shine as a bright star. Notice verse 3 again. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now listen to me. Do you know that there are different kinds of stars? There are dim stars, there are average stars, and there are bright stars. What star do you want to be? I want to be a bright star. You know, the Bible says John the Baptist, he was a bright and shining light while he was here. I want to be a bright and shining light. What kind of church do you want to have, Pastor? I want to have a church that's bright and it's a shining light. Now, when our bodies are raised, there will be different degrees of shining depending on what kind of light you were in this world. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection, verse 41. It says, for one star differeth from another in glory. In other words, some are brighter than others. Some are turning more than others to the righteousness of God. You can be a bright star. You can be a child and be a bright star. The pastor where we went in Oklahoma, his Aunt Bessie taught him when he was 7 years old to lead somebody to Christ. She took him and led somebody to the Lord and taught him how to lead. And he's been leading people to the Lord since he's been 7 years old. I remember seeing Brother Hiles, who was a bright star, and it stirred me up to say, I need to be a bright star. And when I came back from pastor school in 1986, March, I read scriptures like Psalm 96:2, which says, show forth his salvation from day to day. See, I'd been having soul winning about once a week, but I realized that God wanted me to witness every day. That God had people for me that he wanted me to give the gospel to every day that weren't saved. And I remember coming back and I preached a message called, Don't Wait, Do It Today. Don't wait, do it today. And I still think of that. And what happened to me was, I would see people and it would be a divine appointment and God would give me the opportunity to ask them that question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And if you died today and stood before God and He were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? God was giving me people that I could raise that question with them, but I wasn't doing it so often. And I remember there was a guy named Fran Trofilio. He was putting in some carpet for me up in Clark Summit at our home. And I remember thinking that here's an opportunity. I could ask Fran those questions and give him the gospel. But I thought to myself, well, I'll get to know him a little bit. He'll get to know me, know that I'm a real guy. I'm not just asking him a question. And it'll all be about me and him. And then I'll give him the gospel and I'll win him. And you know what that was? That was the devil. He was trying to get me to procrastinate, to put it off. Not to be a confrontational, wise person. And you don't know. The Bible said, don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. I had a friend of mine as a kid. He went into a movie theater and they were eating popcorn and the kid choked on the popcorn. They couldn't get it out of him and he died right there. Third grade, I had a classmate that died in a fire. Fourth grade, I had a classmate that got angry and took a belt and stretched it on his neck. And he couldn't get the neck undone when he crushed his windpipe. He let the belt go and he died right there. I'm just saying to you, you don't know. When God gives you a divine appointment, I go deer hunting years ago. Haven't gone in a while. When I go deer hunting, I see a big buck. I don't say, well, maybe the buck will see me and get to know me. I'll get another chance. No, I take the shot. I take the shot. And I'm just saying to you, don't put it off. Don't wait. Do it today. And I began to do that in 1986. And we had three buses running at the time of 1996 and 276 people baptized. And then I remember Satan attacked us and we went down to one bus. And then in 2000, God stirred me up again and we began to go. And we had three buses by the time 2012 was. Brother Zukowski got saved during that time. Brother Jesse Kresge got saved during that time. And others got saved during that time. I'm saying, do not wait if you want to be a bright star. Learn to give the gospel and give it to people. You see people that I won't see. Release that gospel. You don't need to have the gift of gab. You just need to be right with God. He wants you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He wants you to turn many to righteousness, and the time is short, and we have yet to fill this area. But God has given us another opportunity here in 2023, like we had in 86, like we had in 2000 and 2012. We have the opportunity right now. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with Thursday night soul winning training? What are you going to do with Saturday during the campaign? What are you going to do with the opportunity? God has given that to you to turn many and to be a bright star. By not waiting, but giving that gospel every time God gives you a divine appointment. I believe today God is looking for people here. You've been a star, but you haven't really been a bright star. Maybe you've done a little soul winning, but you haven't done a lot. Some of you, you backed off from it, and you're just not into it. I'm not just talking about Thursday. I'm talking about really becoming soul conscious and seeing people. You know, the Bible said this, that there was a man, he was blind, and Jesus healed him. And what did he saw? He saw men as trees. And then the Lord said, and he took him back and he saw men as men again. Do you know what I think that means? He saw men as trees. I think when he got the first healing, he was super healed and went so far that once he saw that, he had to be taken back. You say, what are you talking about? He saw men with their potential that they could become fruit trees for God. Because that's what each person can be. He might be a drunkard now. He might be a blasphemer. He might be somebody that plays hooky on church and doesn't care about the things of God, like Randy Bloom was at one time. But he's a potential fruit tree for God if he's led to Jesus Christ. And you can lead him to Jesus Christ. And listen, to be a bright star, you have to have what? Vision. I was telling Brother Matthew, I said, one of the things to be a bus captain is you've got to see kids that are not coming on the bus route right now, but they'll come to Christ and they'll live for God. You've got to see that and then knock on those doors, not just on your regulars. That's called vision. And then to be a bright star, you have to have desire. There has to be a desire. You say, who works that desire in your heart? God worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is stirring me up again to be a bright star. Would you go with me and say, I want to be a bright star. I want to have a church as a bright star. You need to have vision. You need to have desire. And the last thing you need to have, because the devil will attack you and the world will attack you and try to discourage you, you need to have determination. Determination. Don't get distracted by people that will try to pull you away from being a bright star, whether it's a sports star, not a sports car, whether it's a sports star, I was going to say it again, sports star, help me.
Sports star.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sports star, or whether it is a athletic star. Same thing. Whether it's a movie star or a music star, they have to have vision, desire, determination.
Pastor, no core.
Stay with it. They've got to stay with it. Amen? They've got to stay with it and stay focused. And if you do that, you could become a bright star. And the Lord, at his second coming, when you're raised from the dead, we're all going to be stars if we're saved. But those that turn many will be bright stars. 1 Corinthians 15, there's different degrees of brightness. Don't let Satan talk you out of that. Trust the Lord and do it. You may not feel like it. That's where determination comes in. I'm going to do it. And you'll get the reward of it. I had a soul winner call me up yesterday and said, Pastor, I've led six to the Lord today. I've led six to the Lord today. I've had a good day. I said, well, that's what my message is about, being a bright star. You could be a star. You don't have to be a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. You can be a star. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn many, and you must shine by giving that gospel at every opportunity. Shine as a bright star. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, first.